NBA Strayer. How you going?
I'm pretty going
pretty well. I reckon basketball's back.
This is NBA Strayer. I'm your host, James Clements. It's Friday, February 23. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Junkie, Red Bull, the Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places who want to give me money. But sitting opposite me here in Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, he's back again for another NBA Strayer episode. It's Big Willie Billy Armour. How are you, Bill?
Good to see you again.
Yeah, man, this is pretty good. So I need to explain like your bona fides quickly as well. You're our resident Dirk slash Mavs fan and my resident slash brother-in-law.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Both are equally unusual, it seems, in New York.
And we've had a very, very tight bro love ever since I met your sister and then realized that you like the NBA just as much as I did.
Yeah, and I have to admit, the reason I came on the show again today is I thought it would just make both of our mums really happy to see us hanging out a bit more.
It's nice. I mean, they do dress us the same. It's the weird part. All right, man. So today, we're going to be hanging out, talking a bunch of junk about the NBA, who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball, which is going to change finally, maybe.
We could actually talk about him.
We can actually talk about Lonzo. We're out here repping Strayer, talking NBA junk because we can. So we're going to wrap all the games from last night. It's back. It's bounce back night. I loved it. Plus, there's all the usual dumbassery. Yeah, Nas, better than Lonzo Ball, the unpopular opinion of the day. And as we do every day here on NBA Strayer, we check in on every Australian NBA player, bro, and just see how they're going. And it's Friday, TGIF, am I right?
A lot of basketball coming up.
Shit, yeah. So we'll add to our Luke Longley All-Stars, Dickhead of the Week, and we'll finish up with a brand new special return. Oh my God, I can't wait. Of Dalian Baines, Super Cops. Yes, it's going to be the end of the episode. It's a cracker, and we're going to preview every single goddamn game for the entire NBA weekend. It's 24 games, Bill.
It's better than the zero we had for last week.
Fuck yes. All right, let's get to it. We'll be back right after these words from this legend.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Strayer, eh? Cheer, Brew.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
All right, you better, man. What do you reckon, Bill? How good was it having basketball back last night?
It was lovely.
So this is called Bounce Back Thursday, where everyone bounces back and they're all feeling good after the All-Star break. So we start off every episode with the whip around. So let's do it. Last night, the Nets lose to the Hornets, 111-96. Kemba goes out, shreds, 31 points, 7 assists. Boy, am I glad I didn't go to this game, though. Buddy of mine lives in Charlotte. It's like, hey, man, you want to come down to this? I'm like, sure, but not really, because the Nets are horrible.
Yeah, what this game taught me is that the Nets really are the best at tanking, even though they shouldn't be. Just a nice little 15-point loss, really in doubt.
They're 1.5 games out of having the worst record in the league all of a sudden. They've lost 8 straight. So Dwight Howard has a double-double in the first quarter in this one as well. Ends up with 15 points, 24 rebounds.
That's a lot of rebounds.
I don't think I've done 24 of anything in one day ever. Jesus, maybe not even 24 tins. Unbelievable. All the Hornets starters made it double figures. The Hornets shot 52.4% from three. Hey, Bill, what happens when you shoot 52.4% from three?
Well, you definitely beat Brooklyn.
Yeah, you definitely beat Brooklyn. Dante Cunningham, the new net, came off the bench, had 22 and 12 and 4 assists. Not bad. And D'Angelo Russell made his return to the starting lineup. Had a very typical D'Angelo Russell night. 19 points on 16 shots. That's that hyper-efficient D'Angelo Russell. I expect them. There you go. Hornets smoked them. What are you going to do? The Knicks, they beat the Magic. Now, speaking of tanking, Bill, this is not how you do it when you're the Knicks. They win 120-113. Gross! Neither team wanted to win this. Unfortunately for the Knicks, Trey Burke wasn't told that they shouldn't win, and Trey Burke went out and tried to win, and little fella ended up with 26 points and 6 assists. Trey Burke wasn't in the NBA 3 weeks ago, Bill.
Well, he certainly wouldn't have been taking 22 field goal attempts then, would he?
No. He might have been in the G League, because who's going to tell him no? But goddamn, Tim Hardaway the lesser got 23 points. One of my points of contention is that NBA players called junior, they're not as good as their dad. I don't know if you're allowed to be called junior. I feel like lesser. You know, it's like, oh, is you as good as your dad? No, well, you're less than him. So
like
you're
Tim Hardaway light.
Yeah. Tim, it's not Tim Hardaway 2.0. It's like Tim Hardaway 0.5.
Mm.
Brutal. For the Magic, I mean, who gives a crap about the Magic, really, apart from Super Mario? Right there, 15 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds. I love him. Evan Fournier, don't Google that. 25, 5 and 5. And Vooch.
Nikola Vooch, Vicello.
19 and 6 in his first game in 2 months. Not bad for the giant hulking, what is he, Serbian? Fuck, I can't remember. Moutier started as the new Knicks starting point guard and played just like every other Knicks starting point guard. 8 points, 4 assists. Not great. Not great. Wiz, they beat the Cavs in the big game of the night, 110-103. Did you catch any of this there, Bill, when you're out on date night?
It feels like everybody who's not LeBron James doesn't really know how to play for the Cavaliers.
Yeah. So we can't overreact to this like everybody else is overreacting to it. So the Cavs lose their first game, and it's at home. Their first time they've lost with the new lineup. What are you going to do, I reckon? It's a tough one. The Wiz, you know, they've got no John Wall. They couldn't score over 77 points like 3 weeks ago. Suddenly they're popping the Cavs in the mouth for 110. What are you going to do? You know what did it, though? 8 of 35 from 3. Holy shit. Yeah. That's not great.
That's no good.
So the 4 new guys for the Cavs, they combined for 11 of 29 shooting for 29 points. Not handy.
They also combined for, what, 0 points in the last 9 minutes
of
the game?
Yeah, it was brutal. George Hill, like, had 4 different shots. Literally go in and then fall back out somehow. Like, an invisible hand had popped them back out. Felt pretty bad for the guy. 32, 9, and 8 for LeBron. As usual, smashing it. But just no one else could really get it going. Thomas Satoransky had an ace game. Look at this shit. 17 points, 8 assists. Looks very comfortable now in place of John Wall. He shot like an absolute bananas from the field. Like, was it 7 of 8?
Yeah, 6 of 7.
6 of 7. Unreal. He looked really good. Defensively, kind of a bit of a mess, but he looked badass. 15 points for Otto. I like to get Blutto. Quarter. 17 for Kelly Oubre. That's a girl's name. Brad Beal, 18 points on 19 shots. Who's going to tell him no? But added 9 assists. On you, Brad Beal. So Washington now, what are they? Just back like a half game from the... I believe it's 1 game back from the Cavs, which is crazy for the 3-seed.
Yeah, half a game.
Half a game back. So that's the old double win there last night. Good job, Wiz. What do you reckon, Bill? So everyone's losing their minds about Cavs suddenly losing 1 game, just as they lost their minds after the Cavs won 2 games. You feel like there's something in the middle, like invariably?
Yeah, well, it was funny. The first game where they all played okay, it was everything in Cleveland is fixed, and they're now the favorites, and we love them again. And now they lost 1 game to the team directly below them on the ladder, suggesting they're kind of okay. And it's like, Cleveland's basically the worst. What is this, New Brooklyn?
Exactly. That's how it goes. It's brutal, man. The other big game of the night last night, because of big fucking Simo, the Sixers beat the Bulls 116 to 115. An amazing end to this game. We had 2 games of great ends. This is one of them. The Sixers were down 4. They got fouled, hit the 2 free throws. Joel Embiid stole the inbounds pass after the timeout that the Bulls took. And then Big Dick Billy Simmons, Benny Simmons, just fucking whipped it out and went, I'm going to hit these 2 free throws, even though apparently I'm shooting with the wrong fucking hand. And they win the game. First off, masterful tanking by the Bulls. Like, to the very end, we have the lead. And then we somehow lose, even though we're up by, like, fucking 3 with, like, 8 seconds left. It makes no sense. It's perfect tanking. It's very good. Stay on those tank tranks. So Big Simo ends up with 32 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. 13 of 18 from the field. Unbelievable. How is Embiid though, Bill?
Look, 13 points. He's quite okay at the basketball.
13 rebounds.
It's like he's an all-star. I mean, it's it's weird though. Ben Simmons seems to have all these other good numbers that just apparently not the same.
They're not as good as Goran. Oh no, they're way better than fucking Goran Dragic. Mm. So Embiid, 30 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and 4 blocks. That's some Hakeem shit, man.
Yeah, he's busy.
To be fair, Chicago did rest Robin Lopez, so they didn't have a starting center last night. They had Bobby Portis, who himself, fighting Bobby Portis, fighting around the world out there. Now that they got rid of his mate, Nikola Mirotic, put up 38 points.
That's a lot of points.
Unbelievable. The best part was you can see the footage of him screaming, I'm going to get 40. And then the narrator voice popping going, he did not get 40. It's pretty great. Zach LaVine had 23 for the Bulls. The Bulls, they shot 18 to 34 from three.
That's
for
good.
A team that doesn't really have any three-point shooters, that's pretty great. So Philly, they come out on a six-game winning streak now, which is amazing. The crazy thing for the Sixers is that no one else on the team really did much. Like, Redick had a bad shooting night. But I guess when you get 62 points from Embiid and Simo,
that's probably going to do it.
Handy, right? Handy. I
like the fact that Simmons just calmly knocked down his two free throws at the end of the game, just by being 4 of 9 from the stripe before that.
Exactly. That's a big dick fucking Ben Simmons
clutch,
right there.
Clutch.
Just throws it out. Just go, wait, fuck you guys. I got this. The Bulls announcers as well were just like, all right, so what you got to make sure you do is that you box out because he's probably going to miss this second one. It's like, oh, did he? No, he didn't. Fuck you, Bulls. There you go. On you, Philly. The next game was also a fucking classic of an end. Thunder win 110-107. What's that gap? Is that 3 points?
What happened?
Gee, did Rusty Westbrook hit a game-winning three there, Bill? Holy shit. This is amazing. Tied at 107. Rusty nails the three. With one, like, how do you
1.0.
Let someone get open in 1 second, just get off a perfect three to win the fucking game?
If it makes you feel better, the defender looks really sad in the replay that they play over and over again.
He's lost first, then he's very sad.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. The best part is Vince Carter at the end of this game, with 8 seconds left on the clock, launching a three from about a third down the floor.
Seems unnecessary, like, in hindsight, doesn't
he's
it?
He's basically at those, like, those third marks on the floor, right? It's like the Steph Curry territory. Like, basically from the paint in the middle of the fucking court. And everyone's like, Vince, what are you doing, mate? He's like, fuck you, I'm 41. I ain't got shit to lose. He's just like, I want to get the fuck home. Come on.
And if there was any question as to whose team Oklahoma City is, you're coming to the last play. Score's tied. You can go to any of your three big players. Should we go to Melo, who's hit 7 of 12 threes? Could we go to Paul George, who's hit 3 of 8? Or Rusty, who's 0 of 5, and give him the shot?
It's classic. I love it.
What was that? What the hell was that?
What the hell was it? It was amazing. He hit it so cleanly though as well. So Paul George was actually on a streak where he'd hit 5 threes in 5 straight games. And that broke last night. He only hit 3. Did you know only like one other person has ever done that? It's like George McLeod for the Mavs in like 1994.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like my mate Dave back at Wednesday Night Basketball. But yeah, probably him as well.
Dave probably did it. Dave did do it. I love Dave. Got a lot of time for Dave. Thunder trailed 105-102 with 4.5 minutes remaining. They blew a 23-point lead in this. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. So Sacramento basically shit the bed. Again, perfect tanking. This is what you need to do, man.
I also want to know what Terrence Ferguson was doing with his 13 minutes and his minus 30 on plus minus.
Classic T-Ferg. That's that Adelaide 36 of blood running strong. ends up, so Rusty with his 18th triple-double, had it before the half, and he had a Jason Kidd triple-double, 10 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. Had an absolute shocker of a night, then hit the fucking game-winning three. Unbelievable. Steven Adams, brew, he had 16 and 8, 24, 6 and 7 for Paul George, 18 for Melo. Not bad. Hangs, I mean, 23 and 12 for Zach Randolph, sure. Vince Carter, 41, 13 points. On ya. I mean, why not? Anyway, and then the final game of the night, the Clips lose to the Warriors. This was an absolute fucking laugher for most of it. And then the Clips, they clawed their way back into it out of nowhere. They were down 20 and just went, we'll just keep playing. And the Warriors like, fuck it, we're going home. And the game's not over? Shit. Clips came back basically, within 5? And put the scare in the Warriors. But, you know, it turns out when you have Steph Curry and Kevin Durant on your team, you can close out games pretty easily, Bill.
Yeah, I would have thought when you're shooting 62% from the field and 56 from three, that's kind of helpful.
The 56% from three is absolutely fucking ridiculous. Obviously, Steph goes for 44 last night. Of that 56% shooting, he added 8 of 11 from three. So when someone goes 8 of 11 from three, I feel like your three-point percentages go up. That's how maths work, isn't it?
I do like the idea also that setting one screen for Steph is not enough, so you just now set double screens for him. Great.
It's bananas. KD had 21 points and 8 assists for the Coward. DeAndre Jordan, 14 points, 14 rebounds. Lou Will, 19 points. After the game, probably still tweeting at Jimmy Butler going, raw. There's a couple of buzzer beaters in this one as well. This was amazing. Steph hit a buzzer beater at the first quarter mark. Unreal from about the halfway point. And then Gallo at halftime does the exact same thing going the other way. After Steph had just dropped a massive three in their faces. It was pretty fucking great, I'll tell you that much. Clips, all their starters end up in double figures, but they lose. Brutal. So they drop to ninth in the West. Tough sledding for the fucking Clippers from here on out, Bill.
It's not where you want to be, is it?
Not at all. Not. You don't want to be looking like... You don't want to have basically Utah breathing down your neck and then looking up at Portland and New Orleans. So anyway, moving on. Let's get to NBA Australia's approved performance of the night.
That's a knife. That's a knife.
That is a knife. Who do you want to give this one to, Bill?
It could be anybody.
Rusty
could
with the dagger three. It could be anybody. Steph with 44 and 9. Or could it be a big dick Benny Simmons?
Yeah. No one has ever been more impressed seeing someone make two free throws than what we were watching him do that.
So Ben Simmons, there was a stat that I actually tweeted out last night from NBA Australia that he and Allen Iverson are the only two Sixers in the last 30 years to have multiple games of over 30 points and 10 assists in a season for the Sixers. So,
and look, Iverson turned out okay, didn't he?
Yeah, Iverson was an okay player.
Yeah.
Like pretty good. So
maybe Simmons should get the cornrows. Maybe that'll help.
If Simo had cornrows, I would get cornrows. And no one wants to see that. Really. They really don't. So there you go. Ben Simmons. We'll talk about him again in Better Than Lonzo Ball. Spoiler alert. So let's get to old mate, no mates. What do you reckon, Bill? Who's this one going to be? It's going to be fun. But let's play the drop.
Old mate, no mates.
Yeah. Who's got no mates today? The last one is so, old mate, no mates. I'm going to say Lowry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen. I mean, it's tough, man. He just had a kid. And we mentioned this before the All-Star break, but told ya, the new dad equals like 2 months of being bad at basketball, I reckon. So he goes 3 points, 1 of 8 shooting. Doesn't win do much over All-Star break either. He, what, made it to the final of the skills challenge? Whatever. Didn't win it. Lost to Spencer fucking Dinwiddie. Then tonight, well, last night goes 3 points, 1 of 8. New dad, man. It's what happens. Jason Tatum, same thing happened. Joe Ingles, smartly, had the kids in the offseason. That's up here for thinking, Jingler. Clever. Up here for thinking.
Clever.
I dig it. So, yeah, Lowry Markkanen. That's a girl's name. Dude had a weekend away and everything and still stunk up the joint last night.
Yeah, unrelated topic. I just bought his T-shirt yesterday. So, yeah, good timing for me.
You put the hex on him, Bill.
Yeah.
That's brutal. All right, let's get to Better Than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Ben Simmons, Dave Simmons, we're coming after you because Ben Simmons is Better Than Lonzo Ball today. This is your daily look into who was Better Than Lonzo Ball last night. Big Simo, 32 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, 13 of 18 from the field, and those two clutch-ass free throws. Who do you reckon who would win a fight right now, Dave Simmons or LaVar Ball? It's got to be Dave, right?
Yeah, but I feel like LaVar is, like, crazy.
He's got old man strength, I reckon, LaVar. He's got, like, just that sort of grizzly bear kind of, like, you know, big body, just I'm going to hug you and crush you.
Mm.
But Dave Simmons, man, he's a terrifying dude to look at.
Yeah, large.
Nice. So there you go. Lonzo has been out. He should be back tonight for the Lakers, which will be nice and handy, and I don't know, like it'll actually be good to have a Better Than Lonzo Ball when Lonzo Ball is actually playing. So you've got a comparison.
And you've got a reason to stay up till 10:30 to watch the Mavericks and Lakers.
Oh, Jesus. It's going to be a good game tonight, I'll tell you that. We'll talk about that in the weekend preview. What do you reckon? So how about Dickhead of the Week, Bill? This can only be like one organization.
Dickhead of the Week.
Jeez. So the Mavs CEO and the Mavs blogger. That's it, you know? They get it. It's like back-to-back dickheads of the week. We had dickhead of the weekend yesterday, dickhead of the week today. The Mavs situation, there's not much more to add to it. It's just fucked.
Mm.
So the NBA today instigated a hotline for any NBA league employee or organization of any NBA team to call anonymously and leave any sort of tips and stuff like that. It seems like that's a little bit of a start towards something, but you're also kind of like, hey, I don't know. Why hadn't this already been instituted at any point beforehand? So
it's also pretty embarrassing that you can't go to a sensible human and say, hey, this guy's a real asshole. Can we get rid of him? And their answer is no.
It's like, oh, wait, was that our CEO telling you that you're going to get gangbanged on the weekend? Yeah. Hey, should we keep that guy around? Jesus.
Embarrassing.
Tough man. So there you go. Dickheads of the week. The Mavs, Cuban, the CEO, the Mavs blogger, fucking just an entire shit show at the moment. Hopefully they get to the bottom of it, figure it out, sort their shit out, make things a little bit better maybe. I don't know. Maybe just hire some fucking women. Come on, Mavs. What are you doing? All right. We're going to be back in just a second with some yeah nahs right after this one.
Oi, oi, oi. It's old mate Dally over here. That's right. Manny Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
Classic. Yeah, it's NBA Straya. It's yeah nahs. It's yeah nahs. We take three NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah, and we're gonna have Bill decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. This is good. I like having a guest. It doesn't all rely on me yelling all the time. So first up, Bill, can anyone catch James Harden as your NBA MVP for this season?
Nah. You can't see it.
Nah. Can't, right? Nah. So this got mentioned yesterday, I think it was Reggie Miller going, this is... Like, it's, you can't do it. Like, he's the MVP. And it's like, oh, I guess that's true. Like, no one can really, like, Giannis could maybe catch him, but they're 12 games behind.
Yeah, and on the basis of just how consistently good he's been, on the fact that, you know, Rusty can't quite get there and Giannis's team don't win enough. Yeah.
Yeah, it's done.
He's by himself.
Number two, like the Warriors are doing this week, every NBA team now should visit Washington, D.C. kids instead of the White House while Trump is in office. Yeah, nah.
Big yeah.
Fuck yes. I love this. So they're not announcing what the Warriors are doing, but I just assume they're taking like an entire like school district to see Black Panther. Because that's what you should do. Just send a whole bunch of kids to go watch Black Panther. You're like, fuck yes, this is sick. That's way better than going to hang out with fucking the orange Mussolini over there.
I just like the idea of all the Warriors players getting on the old school American school buses and just like really cramped in the back. Draymond sitting at the back.
Klay like, Thompson would like, he's like, oh man, this is fucking great.
Draymond sitting in the back like throwing paper at people. Was that you, Draymond? No, it wasn't me.
No, sir. It was Klay, sir. Nice. Number three, is Ben Simmons versus Donovan fucking Mitchell the best rookie of the year race since LeBron and Melo in 2004?
That's a pretty clear yeah, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think now, it might even be better. So
we're really biased, obviously. But so, Donovan Mitchell is just extremely good, isn't he?
So I've gone back through this, Bill. LeBron and Melo wasn't even that close because everyone's like, oh, LeBron's just clearly better. Melo got a bunch of first place votes, but it wasn't that close. Emeka Okafor and Ben Gordon the year after in 2005. Much closer in the voting.
But that's not because they were two future superstars, was it?
Jesus. That didn't work out great, did it? Amari and Yao in 2003. Pretty close, but Amari won it no problems. Tyreek and Steph. Steph couldn't really even catch Tyreek in that one. The closest, well, not even like Blake Griffin, John Wall, and DeMarcus Cousins was close. Blake Griffin fucking smoked them. So the closest was actually Elton Brand and Steve Francis.
What?
In 2000. They tied.
That doesn't sound quite as
they
much
tied.
Fun.
So do you reckon we could actually have a Ben Simmons, Donovan fucking Mitchell tied Rookie of the Year race?
Well, based on the like NBA All-Star weekend, no, Donovan Mitchell will get every single one of the votes. And people will be like, who's Ben Simmons?
Yeah. Fuck that. Just some more clutch free throws and then we'll talk. We're going to have a bonus as well. Yeah, nah. What do you reckon, Bill? We were talking about this just before. Popped up last night on the broadcast. Would you want a franchise to unretire your number so your kid could wear it? Yeah, nah.
Yeah,
bullshit.
Absolutely.
No, fuck that. I would not want that at
what?
All. I'd be like, fuck you, kid. You're going to get your own number. Your fucking pops over
you
here.
You probably would have done something lame like name them Jimmy Jr. anyway. Or Jimmy the Lesser, sorry, to
Jimmy
be correct.
Jimmy the Lesser. Shut up, Jimmy the Lesser, Clements. Dad, come on. We're in front of people. Fuck LeVaring my shit.
Well, you don't even want them to do like the nice thing, but they get to bring it off the roof.
It's pretty cool, but at the same time, I'm like, motherfucker, that's my number. You gotta go and get your own motherfucking number. Come on. It's my fucking sweat and tears went into that shit. Have you fucking put all that sweat and tears in that number? No, you haven't. Fucking get out there and do it, you dickhead. In a second. Oh, shit. God forbid I ever have a kid then. What are they gonna do? Retire my podcasting number? Jesus. All right, let's get to the unpopular opinion of the day. Look at me. It's the unpopular opinion of the day. Fuck this whole play-in tournament bullshit. Bill? So this popped up yesterday. Zach Lowe wrote a really good piece about it. The idea of two tournaments featuring the 7, 8, 9, and 10 seeds in each conference. The 7 seed plays the 8 seed. The winner of that game takes the 7 seed. Then the 9
which
seed...
Which is what they would have got at the start, but that's fine.
The 7 yep. would have had that anyway. The 9 seed plays the 10 seed, and the winner of that plays the loser of 7v8 for the last playoff spot. So I love the idea of a play-in tournament to the playoffs, but I think it'll be invariably fucked up by cowards wanting to temper it for some bizarre-ass bullshit of like, oh, but we just want them to play hard all the time and just all this other bullshit. Like, we're going to hurt someone's feelings because they played in this tournament and then they didn't get through. You know what? Fuck that. What do you reckon of the idea of a play-in tournament?
Look, I think it'd be great to see Charlotte play much more. Sure. No, this is just a way of getting around the fact that there are too many good teams in the West. And they're like, what are we going to do with Portland, New Orleans, you know, Clippers and Utah?
That is the tough part. But my point is, I'm like, this is cowardly. Just go, right, the top 6 seeds are guaranteed in both conferences. That's fine. Then we play a 16-team tournament for the 7 through 15 teams. So 16-team tournament, that's easy. It's a bracket. 16, 8, 4, 2, boom. And away you go. Like, it's pretty simple, I think. So the last 4 seeds, they go through to the final 4. Then they play off the seeding in that as well, right? So you keep the team up to the 6th seed. They all stay in the draft lottery. So you wouldn't be tanking out of that, out of the 7 or 8, because you still get a shot at the draft lottery. You smooth out the odds for the draft lottery a little bit more than they already are. I reckon just flatten it all a little bit more. So if you're the number 9, like the 9th worst team, and you realize, oh shit, we could get like the 3rd pick or we could get the 14th pick. What's the fucking point of tanking? Let's try and make the playoffs and also still get a good pick. Like, that's fucking awesome. Like, that incentivizes people, right? So you point out the playoff to the playoff revenue for the teams that make it, which is all, you know, in the millions and millions of dollars. The play-in tournament for the playoffs as well would count for knocking some of the season games out, I think, as well. You get it down to maybe 66 games if you've got over half of the league playing in this play-in tournament.
Mm.
The other teams get a little bit of a rest while this happens, which I think is another incentive. That's pretty fucking good.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
Get all rusty and...
I think it would be great. I reckon just like, go, all right, cool, man. We got a fucking week off because we ended the 6th seed. We beat these fucking morons in 7 and 8. That's awesome. I just think that should be the way to go. Like, if you're going to do it, don't do it half-assed. Kind of my point behind it. What do you reckon? Any thoughts?
You'd have to relook at it properly, wouldn't you? You couldn't go straight from a system that says every single round of the playoffs is 7 games and then go straight to a tiny little tournament. And it's like, oh yeah, I was about to give you 7 games to see how you go, but actually you just lost tonight and so you're out.
Yeah, true. True. Yeah, like 7 or 8. Oh, well, last year you would have 7 games to prove that you're okay, but now you've got 1.
Yeah.
But I think that's awesome. Like, that's stakes, man. That's fucking great. That's why everybody loves March Madness.
That does make 6 feel so much more important than 7 now, though.
Well, it should. Like, that's a good cutoff. It's pretty good. I mean, it's the same like with the NFL wildcards and shit like that. You know, you add like another team here and there, but they're at a severe disadvantage, and you basically give the teams in the top 6 a little bit more of an advantage because they get more rest. It's awesome. I don't know. I like the idea of the play-in tournament. I just think the half-assing is going to be kind of shit. So anyway, there you go. What do you reckon? I hope people let me know what the fuck, like, out there listening to NBA Australia, what they think, because there's a lot of different proposals, and I don't know. Like, I want to hear all the different angles. Because, like, you read a bunch of them, you're like, yeah, but there's always pros and cons. So anyway, whatever. Let's get to the Australian Player Watch right after these words.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya.
Yeah, man. And thanks to Andrew Bogut for swinging by on Twitter last night and, like, giving NBA Straya a big fucking shout out. That was awesome. So the NBA Australian Player Watch, let's do it. Ben Simmons last night, as mentioned, smashed him. 2 clutch free throws, wins it 32-11-7. Killing it. Magic on Saturday, Wiz on Sunday for Simo. Has 9 blocks in 5 of his last 6 games as well. Killing it. Patty Thrills Mills, he's got the Nugs on Friday, Cavs on Sunday. Jingling Joe Ingles, he's got the Blazers Friday, the Mavs Saturday as they try to keep that 11-game win streak rolling. Don't know how they'll go. Really wish they had the Mavs on Friday and then the Blazers on Saturday.
I was going to say, when you say you don't know how they'll go, you're clearly not talking about playing Dallas, are you?
I'm really not. Dele, oh, we still don't have, like, so we've got the rehab videos of Dele, but we don't have word whether or not he'll be back. This is about the limit of his 3 to 4 week diagnosis. Diagnosis. But there's been no word from the Bucks as to whether or not he'll be back yet, which is kind of shit.
It's hard to tell how far through his Rocky montage he is. Exactly. Is he like right at the end of it? Is he still like two-thirds through?
Is he climbing a snowy mountain and about to be jumping on top of it wearing like a fucking hoodie and that's it?
Yeah.
But yeah, so hopefully he'll be back soon. The Bucks, so Thon Song, Thon for Thon, Thon, Thon. They have the Raps tonight, then the Pelicans Sunday. So it's a good game tonight between them and the Raps. Mm. So it'll be good. Aaron Bangers Baines plays his old muckers over there in Detroit tonight, and then the Knicks on Saturday. Go Celtics. Not bad. On your bangers. Andrew Bogut, no team yet. Sitting on the couch, fucking around on Twitter, tweeting at NBA Australia. On ya. On ya. Mango Mathiang still hanging out down in the Greensboro Swarm. And the daily question, yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? Aw, yeah. But non-contact practice drills. That's what the Utah Jazz have announced. So he should be back pretty soon. Thing is, it's a shoulder injury.
His non-contact practice drills, that's just him playing 2K18, isn't it?
It's basically him playing Call of Duty and like shooting a basketball on the occasion. So check out NBA Australia Facebook today. We've got the NBA Australia Never Forget, which is about Dante Exum. And the final part of the Australian Player Watch, Kyrie, as mentioned, the Celtics play the Pistons and the Knicks Friday, Saturday. There you go. That's not bad. So as we do every Friday, we add to our Luke Longley All-Stars bill. What do you reckon? So the Luke Longley All-Stars, this is dedicated to all the role players out there just who did their fucking job, did it really well, like a flame grubber. Give me Sean Elliott on the 1999 Spurs. He's a massive pain in the ass if you listen to Spurs broadcast, like the home broadcast. He's like one of those horrible league pass homer guys where he's like yelling at the refs from the sideline. But Sean Elliott was amazing. So debuts in 1989-90, spent his entire career with the team apart from 1 year. 1 year. He gets traded to the Pistons in 93-94. You want to guess who for?
Ooh, somebody really good.
Dennis Rodman.
Really?
He was part of the Dennis Rodman trade that got the worm to San Antonio. Thing is, he got to the Pistons, Sean Elliott, and he's like, man, fuck Detroit. This sucks. Had his scoring drop from 17 points a game to 12 per game, and Detroit are like, ah, this guy sucks. So traded him back to the Spurs exactly 1 year later. He just went back like nothing ever happened. It's amazing. So he was like literally like averaging 20 points when he got back to the Spurs as well, like in 95-96. So Detroit just sort of gave up and were like, oh, all right, fuck it. You know, well, let's just bring him back. And that's exactly what they did. So good job, Sean Elliott. Not bad. So from when he was a rookie till his last year, he was basically averaged 15 points per game. And then settled into this role after he got back to the Spurs, after those 20-point sort of years. Pretty much didn't last too long. He's 32 by the time he retired. Won the title in 99, playing 30 minutes a game, averaging only 12 points a game, 4.5 rebounds, 2.3 assists, but was shooting 33% from three. Pretty good. But that was a down year because he shot like over 40% 2 years running in the mid-90s, which is basically makes him the best fucking three-point shooter in the NBA at that point. Thing is, basically the prototypical 3-and-D wing who could score, play make a little, knew his role next to Duncan and Robinson. He could probably do more, but play within himself. And that's kind of like the entire Spurs ethos right there, right?
He's like the original Joe Ingles.
Exactly, he is. That's what they call him, the American Joe Ingles. But this is the classic Luke Longley All-Star role player. And look, just because he's pain in the ass in the Spurs broadcast, you know, I'm going to let him go. That's fine. On you, Sean Elliott. You are a Luke Longley All-Star. What do you reckon, Bill? Did you learn something there?
I just like the home broadcast guys are so hilarious.
So bad. I love it. All right, let's get to the game previews right after this one.
G'day. This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, so let's get to the game previews. Game previews. We have 24 games on the weekend, so we're going to whip through them. Bill and I are going to pick each one, give a couple of, like, just a little note on each. Let's do it, Bill. Let's whip through them. What do you reckon? Right there, Celtics at Pistons. It's the Bangers Bowl. Aaron Baines, Blake versus the Seas. Give me the Celtics, I reckon, in Detroit.
Easily.
Nice. Hawks at Pacers. Oosh. Who's going to pay to see the Hawks the rest of the year? Like anyone?
Yeah, it was hard to find a Dennis Schroeder jersey at the NBA store the other
Dennis
day.
Dennis Schroeder, you will play like I says. Nice. Give me the Pacers. They win that run.
Sure. Under Victor, yeah, absolutely.
Victor Oladipo. Hornets at Wiz. The Hornets playoff push. Hornets. Hornets? Yeah, that works. The playoff push begins now. They've beaten the Nets. These guys are both teams on a back-to-back as well. So in Washington, give me Washington, I reckon.
Yep.
Bucks at Raps. Awesome game. Wish Dally was going to be back. Doesn't look likely. This is in Toronto. Tricky one.
Toronto just seem to win these types of games, though, don't they?
They do. They just sort of just fucking... And they're like a ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous 24-4 at home. Mm. So I think Toronto will win that one. What do you reckon, Bill?
Yep.
Agree? Nice one. Wolves at Rockets. Awesome game. Give me this as a playoff matchup. 100%. Big Cat and Jimmy Buckets versus Harden and CP3. This is the Rockets at home. Jimmy Butler got a bit of a rest over the All-Star weekend, apparently. But I think the Rockets win that one as well.
I think they do, but a great game.
Awesome game. Love to see this as a playoff matchup. Cavs at Grizz. Cavs trying to get that roll back smoking against the Get Right Grizz, as I called them here. Cavs win that one, right?
Of two teams comes out. The worst ever Cavs, who played yesterday, or the Cavs and back Cavs, who played like just a week ago.
I got a feeling it'll be the... are the Cavs any good Cavs when they struggle to beat the Grizz? The Grizz play hard, man. It's what they do, but they're just not very good. Cavs win. Heat at Pelicans. Interesting matchup. Anthony Davis versus Whiteside and bam, Adebayo. Heat wings versus the Pels no wings, which is kind of ironic, really, once you think about it. I reckon give me the Heat.
Nah, I reckon Pels.
Nice one. Spurs Nugs. Going to learn a lot from the Spurs this weekend worth of games. No Kawhi Leonard. Everyone's freaking out about that. The Nugs are awesome. They got Yoka, the Dartsman, Gary Harris, Jam and Jamal Murray. I think the Nugs win that.
The Spurs, they just seem off at the moment, don't
they? Yeah, it's weird.
I'm very un-Spurs-like.
Something smells rotten in San Antonio. Who you got there?
Yeah, Nuggets.
Nugs. Clippers at Suns. Ugh. Clippers, fun to watch at points last night. The Suns, I don't know, man. It's going to be tough. Clippers go from Warriors to Suns in two nights. Usually you'd be like, all right, put your money on the team playing against the Suns, but maybe not tonight. Could the Suns pull that one out?
They could. The Clippers seem like the sort of... And Lou Williams is the sort of player who could just be terrible against the Suns.
I mean, the Suns have lost 7 straight.
Also bad.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the Clippers might just struggle over. Blazers at Jazz. Oh, the Jazz trying to get to 12 straight wins.
Big game for the Jazz.
This is really big. I got a feeling that the Blazers might win this one as well. Sneak up on them a little bit.
At Jazz?
Yeah, at Jazz.
No. Got to back the Jazz at home.
Nice one. Mavs at Lakers. Gross. Mavs reeling, having to play LA on Friday. It's not going to be great. This is Harrison Barnes versus Brandon Ingram. Woo! ESPN, baby. Sure.
Importantly, the Mavs will improve to the worst record in the NBA by losing this game.
So nice one. Yeah, I've got the Lakers as well. Saturday, Magic at Sixers. Big Simo and Embiid versus Jonathan Simmons and Vooch. Sure. Give me the Sixers. Grizz at Heat, put all your money on the Heat. Grizz on a back-to-back. Heat no will good. Be as well, but Heat are going to win that. Celtics at Knicks. Oh, the Knicks are the worst without that zinger.
Now, nice weekend for the Celtics, isn't it?
It really is.
Pistons and Knicks.
Hang the fuck out, man.
Yeah.
Now the Knicks are starting Moutier, not Frankie Smokes. Sure. Give me the Celtics in that.
Yep.
Thunder at Warriors. Fuck yes. This is an awesome Saturday night game. Rusty, Melo, PG versus KD, Steph, Clay, and Dre.
There's only one bad thing about this, which is the rap that they're doing to advertise this game.
God, fucking ESPN over here with their ABC Saturday nights is the worst. It's like basically like me rapping. It's like, pretty good to see the Thunder. Geez, this won't make you chunder. It's like, fuck.
But it is good watching replays of how angry Westbrook is playing against the Warriors.
Every time.
So good.
Bulls at Wolves, Jimmy Buckets and Tibbs. They rerun it. Back against the Bulls. That's fun. It's
Does Tibbs
fun.
Know which team he's coaching when he rocks up to those games?
I don't think he does anymore. Right. Weird. Their last game was amazing just before the All-Star break too. So give me the Wolves in that though.
Yep.
Blazers, Suns. Oh shit. Both on a back-to-back, but the Blazers will smash the Suns in that one, won't they?
Easily.
Nice. Mavs at Jazz. Oh, the Jazz going for maybe 13 straight at this point. Who knows? I think they get it if they even if they lose the night before. I think the Jazz win that.
I reckon though, if the Jazz win, Dallas is the sort of jerk team who'll come out and break their
Powell, yeah, yeah. Powell will be like, fuck you guys. Yeah. Lakers at Kings. Ugh, Lakers, what a weekend.
Do they have to play this game? Can they just tell everyone what the score would have been and then just like,
the best part is, the best part is Lonzo comes back against the Mavs and then sits out this one, even though like not, it's not because of his nemesis, De'Aaron Fox. It's because, oh, it's my knee. Fucking ducking De'Aaron Fox. Will the Kings win another game all year? That's a good question.
Oh, they're such a yucky team.
They are. Lakers win that one, right?
Yep.
Sure. Sunday, Pistons at Hornets. Ugh, gross. Why was there so many good games and so many horrible games, Bill? Good question.
This is exactly what you would get with your silly tournament thing. These two teams playing each other.
But it's single elimination, man. Then one of them has to go home.
But that would be the only good thing. If you said, we'll only let Detroit and the Hornets play each other once ever again. And if one of irrespective them, of who wins, one of them has to leave.
One of them has to move to Seattle. give me the Pistons, I think, in that, even in Charlotte.
Oh, give me sadness.
Nice. Pelicans at Bucks. I think the Bucks win that at home.
That would have been such a good game if DeMarcus was playing.
Yeah, so this is two playoff teams in the middle of their conferences. Greek Freak versus the Pterodactyl. I like it. Give me the Bucks.
Yep.
Nice. Spurs at Cavs, 3:30 p.m. Ooh, I reckon the Spurs randomly win this one.
Yes, I have no idea what you're going to get with these two teams anymore. You could have up and been down, completely on song with these two for the last 3 years, but no
more,
idea now.
More up and downs than the fucking Gold Coast Wonderworld roller coasters. I love it. The lethal weapon right there. I reckon the Spurs win that.
No, I reckon Cavs.
Sixers at Wiz. Big Simon and Bede versus Washington. This should be great. They had a great game 3 weeks. 3 weeks ago. Could be a early round playoff matchup as well, yeah, which would be awesome.
This is a really important game.
Fun game. Wiz currently, in fourth? Could move up. Sixers currently in seventh. Could easily keep it up with the Pacers and Bucks ahead of them. So fascinating shit. So they need to win that. I reckon the Sixers win it.
Hmm. Agree.
Nugs at home versus the Rockets. Awesome way to finish the week. What do you reckon, Bill?
Rockets. I mean, they just keep on rolling.
I think the Nugs win that just because they've been at home for basically 2 weeks at this point. They play the Spurs on Friday. Rockets play the day before. No, 2 days before. Have to fly up. And I reckon the Nuggets will be fine. So there you go. And there you go. You know what that was? The fucking end. 24 games all wrapped up. That was unbelievable. That's been NBA Australia. We're done for the week. We'll be back Monday for more ridiculousness. Unfortunately, we won't have Big Willy Billy Armour because you fly out again tomorrow.
Yeah, so I can, go. I can spend all my time in the air while basketball's actually being played.
Brutal. Right. Absolutely brutal. Well, this has been awesome. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
This has been awesome. Hope you enjoyed it. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter and NBA Australia and Facebook. Do the thing. Subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. Check us a rating and review while you're at it. Go on. Thanks to Andrew Bogut for the big props yesterday. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. They're the best band in Australia. Go vote. Go request their new single, Stop, on Triple J. Just do it right now. It's a fucking corker of a tune. Extra special thanks to Legends of Green, 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 Iowa, Fascinator, and Ramshackle Army for the tunes throughout the episode. NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. Give them a smash, mate. And that's it, man. It's been a fun-ass week, hasn't it, Bill?
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Lots of fun. All-star. It's all been wrapped. It's been sweet. We're going to finish up with Deli and Bane's Super Cops. It's going to be awesome. Stick around for it. One's a hard-nosed by-the-book cop. The other a loudmouth scrapper.
You do not want to miss this.
It's going to be so good. All right, this has been NBA Australia. We'll catch us next week. Later, Horizon! One's a hard-nosed by-the-book cop. The other a loudmouth scrapper. Together, they're the best damn cops on the block. It's Deli and Baines.
What do we have here, Deli?
Oh, fuck, it looks like some dickhead stole some other dickhead's car and then run over a bunch of sheep there, Bainesy.
That's what you call a bad situation then, Deli.
Nice one, Bainesy.
Too right. Now, problem is, he's gone and shot someone.
Oh, I reckon it was that fucking criminal mastermind, Ben Simmons, eh?
It'd be the only bloody shot he's hit all year then.
Ha! Bainesy, you're a fucking crack-up, I'll tell ya.
No, see, that neat handwriting, HR manual, and a video clip of a fella who looks like a substitute teacher shooting threes? This is the work of the nefarious Jingler.
Oh, not the Jingler, Bainesy. He's from fucking Adelaide. He's probably got a bunch of fucking people stuffed into barrels of acid and shit as well.
Too right, Deli. It means we'll have to tread carefully.
Oh no, Bainesy. Watch out. He's just over there taking long shots at us from everywhere.
G'day. I'm the Jingler, and I'm, here to get ya.
Quick, fucking knock him out or shoot him, Bainesy.
Get down, Deli.
I'll dive at his knees.
Deli, no!
I got him, Bainesy. I got him.
That you did, little fella. Now come on, you've been shot 20 times.
Oh, good thing old mate Deli over here can't fucking die, isn't it?
It really is, mate. It really... Now, let's get you to the hospital, eh?
Oh, I love you, Bainesy.
Love you too, Deli.
Friends forever.
Friends forever.
Stay tuned next week for another Deli and Bane.